Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast, your Tuesday edition of the show. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike Stefano from Locked On Leafs. Happy Canada Day to everybody. Happy 4th of July. Mike, how was your weekend?
Yeah, my weekend was pretty good. Got to celebrate a little bit, I suppose. Our Canada Day was like last Thursday, so got the day off, got to Selly, and then I had to get right back to work on the Friday. I don't know why. Americans celebrate a lot harder than Canadians. Like, even your Thanksgiving is like a whole 4-day event. Like, it's an entire weekend. You have it on the Thursday, and everyone knows Black Friday is a holiday, essentially. It's a shopping day for that sector, but you know, it's a holiday, no one works, and you enjoy the weekend, and you're in your turkey coma for 3 days. You'll watch college football all day on the Saturday, and then you watch football all day on the Sunday. It's pretty fantastic. But Canada, we only allot 1 day for a holiday. So I'm really jealous of that.
Your Thanksgiving, you're right, is definitely that way. It's the night before Thanksgiving is like a holiday. It's like the best night of the year to go out because everybody's back in town. Yeah. The next morning, it depends like what your group does, but like for me, it's the same every year. It's we go out the night before, we play Turkey Bowl, pick up football game at the high school field, the morning of Thanksgiving. Then you go and have midday Thanksgiving with one side of the family, watch football. Later, you have second Thanksgiving meal. So you have two Thanksgiving meals a lot of times. And then, like you said, I'm not a Black Friday guy, but many people do it, obviously. And then 4th of July, I think it's probably the same thing. I was Angola on the Bay, if people are familiar with the Buffalo area, Angola on the beach on Lake Erie, just south of Buffalo. It's 2 days there, and it is unbelievable the amount of fireworks, and you've got these massive bonfires that line the beach as far as the eye can see, and everyone's got fireworks. Like, it's not enough to have one big show, like, kind of right in the middle. It's spread out throughout the whole beach, and it's just chaos everywhere. I think I saw something like $3 trillion in fireworks, some crazy number. Maybe it's not trillion, maybe it's billion, get fired off every year. Americans go hard. I didn't know that Canadians didn't, though, for Canada Day or for Canadian Thanksgiving.
Nope. It's 1 day. It's on a Sunday or a Monday, I guess. So it's a Sunday or a Monday, whenever you celebrate it. Technically, it is a Monday, but some people do it on the Sunday so they can just chill on the actual holiday, I suppose. But like, that's it. It's the Monday and that's it. That's all.
I think that makes Canadians more productive than Americans. Does that even need to be said? I mean, because then like you follow 4th of July weekend and you're just out cold that Tuesday, depending on how hard you went that weekend. That was me for sure. I was exhausted all of Tuesday. But we had the Stanley Cup final when late went into overtime. We'll talk a little bit about game 4 between Montreal and Tampa Bay. We've got the mayor of Tampa Bay throwing all kinds of headlines into our podcast today. We've got some non-Stanley Cup final headlines as well. Duncan Keith looks like he's on the way to being traded. Gary Bettman did a sit down that I want to mention as well. So we'll get to that and maybe a little bit on the Jack Eichel trade situation. There's not a ton over the past couple of days. We have a couple of nuggets. I think it's starting to go radio silent on the Eichel front, but we'll get into that a little bit as well. But let's start with game 4. Montreal beats Tampa Bay in overtime. Josh Anderson makes the play in overtime. I mean, just amazing. Just down the left wing, shields off the defender, gets it in front to Cole Caulfield, and then diving back to the net, he puts it past Andrei Vasilevsky for an amazing goal. Montreal was outplayed in that game, but, I mean, that's, like, isn't that kind of how they got to win? I don't think they're coming back in this series. But if they ever were going to come back in this series, it's kind of how they got to do it. It's just hold on for dear life, score when you get your opportunities, and hope that Carey Price stands on his head.
That's basically been the recipe for success the entire time, right? Try not to make mistakes, capitalize on the opportunities that are presented by the other team, and then Carey Price has to be unbelievable. That's the recipe for success for the Montreal Canadiens. And Didn't really find that in game one. Game two, I thought that they played actually well. They could have won game two, but game three, again, they didn't really have that many opportunities, but Carey Price was unbelievable, and a little bit of a mistake there. Jan Rutta allowed Josh Anderson to get back into that play after what looked like taking him out of the play and into the boards, and that little mistake allowed Montreal to be opportunistic to kind of fire at that rebound and keep their season alive and keep the 2021 hockey season alive.
Yeah, that I'm happy with that we got that. You've got this hurricane, well, it's a tropical storm at this point, that's throwing a wrench into things. Montreal, the Canadiens have landed in Tampa Bay. I think the Lightning have also, the last I checked, their charter flights, which is good because, I mean, those airports are going to be shut down maybe as soon as tomorrow morning.
They were shut down at 5 o'clock today.
Oh, they were? I missed that. Okay.
So when I was producing the afternoon show today on TSN 1050, and one of my guests messaged me and he was like, hey, can we move up my hit earlier because my flight got changed from, I think it was supposed to be 3 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And the reason why I got moved up was because they're shutting down the Tampa airport at 5 p.m. local time because of the hurricane that was coming in, Hurricane Elsa. So yeah, literally like the media and all them all had to like rejig their flights and make sure they got on the plane. And they moved up flights to make sure that they got into Tampa by 5 o'clock.
Okay. And I saw Bill Daly maybe was the one who made a comment that said that they'll be flexible with the scheduling if they have to. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but the game as of now is scheduled to take place tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So we'll see if the season ends tomorrow in Tampa Bay. Are you one to care about that? I feel like I like when teams win at home, and if the Lightning are going to win inevitably, yeah, you know what? Do I need that? I don't know. Should I feel bad for Tampa Bay? I had on our radio station here in Buffalo, WGR today, we had a guest on from Tampa that referred to them as Champa Bay. And maybe that makes me want them to just lose outright and also not win it at home if they do.
Yeah, I mean, I like it better when they win at home because then the atmosphere is there, the fans, you can see their elation. And, you know, I think especially since last year, you didn't get to see that in the bubble. So at least Tampa going back to back allows them to kind of have that moment with the fans that they were missed out on last season, too. So if they do end up winning the cup, which I think we all kind of expect to happen, despite last night's kind of hoorah from the Montreal Canadiens, I would, if they're going to win it, I would rather them, yes, win it on home ice, whether that's tomorrow in game five or that's on the weekend in a game seven. But I tell you what, you know who really wants them to win this one on home ice tomorrow night specifically? The mayor of Tampa.
We are on the same wavelength there too. I was just, as you're talking, like, oh, I can't wait to make the transition too. And you know who really didn't want them to win last night and wants them to win tomorrow? So we were on the money there. Yeah, what did you make of that? I mean, I kind of understand the logic, but you can't say it out loud. Come on.
Lady, you can't do that. You just jinx your team. Like, if they end up losing this series, which they're likely not going to,
it'll be like a curse for all times.
she's fired. She is fired. Like, 100, like, she's done. Her political career is over. There's no way that she's going to get reelected in that city. If the Tampa Bay go on to lose after her basically saying, hey, Tampa, go ahead and lose and allow them to get into it, get some confidence and kind of shift the series into their, you know, back into Montreal's hands a little bit. It's okay. You'll come back and you'll win it here in Tampa. And if that doesn't happen in game five, and now you go back to Montreal for game six, you double down if you're the mayor there. Like, you kind of have to double down there, right? We're like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
You lose game six and you come back home and you win it in a game seven, and I'll even triple down overtime. Game seven, overtime winner. We'll have Amalie Arena go absolutely buck wild. It'll be amazing. You know, people pour out onto the streets of Tampa Bay. You know, there'll be horns honking all the way up and down the strip. We'll have a beautiful, beautiful boat parade a couple days later. Blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what she'll have to do if they lose tomorrow night, right?
Oh, for sure. They won't make it known. There are people in the business departments of the Tampa Bay Lightning that I'm sure are quietly in their own little cubicle, looking around, making sure nobody's looking, that nobody's around to see it. Do a little fist pump because the amount of money that they'll make in ticket sales alone for having another home Stanley Cup final game is an enormous number. So don't tell me there's nobody out there that isn't that even is in the organization that might just be a little bit happy that the amount of money that they're going to pull in for having an extra game here. But like you said, like, come on, if you're the mayor, you have a lot of pressure on you. Not only are you going to get fired, it's the curse thing for me. If they lose and Tampa Bay goes on to like not win a championship for a long time, like she will be known for that and that alone as the person who's cursed at least the Lightning, maybe all sports in Tampa Bay. I don't know. I mean, you can't have your name on that. That's a terrible job.
Yeah. You know, the Lightning win it for her, or else that could be a real dicey situation for her for the next week or so, as she will be sweating if that thing has to go six or seven games.
Yeah. What do you think of the Conn Smythe odds right now? I got them up at betonline.ag, our partners over there at BetOnline. Andre Vasilevsky is a heavier favorite than he was before game four, -225. Nikita Kucherov, +130. And then you've got a massive gap. Braden Point, +1200. Carey Price, +2200. Victor Hedman, +6600. I don't even think anyone else is worth mentioning. Cole Caulfield's +10,000 if you want it. Any thought that maybe Kucherov's odds are lower? Because he's having almost a historically great postseason when it comes to statistics. That maybe writers won't give him the benefit of the doubt because of the injury, the timing, and the cap thing going on with Tampa Bay. Do we feel like that is in play at all here?
That's interesting, because I never actually once even thought that would be in play. So that's interesting that you felt like it would be, because I actually didn't. Like, I just took it at face value as Kucherov's having an absolutely fantastic playoff. He's leading the league in scoring. But on the flip side, you've got the best goaltender in the world doing what the best goaltenders in the world do: win a heck of a lot of hockey games and stop a heck of a lot of pucks. And it's really, I think, at this point, a battle between those two. Coming into it, I felt Braden Point was definitely in the mix there, along with Carey Price. But I think as the games have gone on, unless the Habs do win the Stanley Cup, I think Carey Price is pretty well scratched out of here. There was like that possibility that he could be like that J.S. Jaguar, who, you know, the only reason why the team was there, or the team was there, is because of the goalie, because Price went on a heater. But I don't see that happening this year. What I could see is the other goaltender getting it, though, at the end of the day, Andre Vasilevsky. And that's what I would say is playing more into Kucherov not being the betting favorite, as opposed to the whole cap and injury and, you know, all the shenanigans that went on all year long that Dougie Hamilton was none too pleased about. I'm not so sure that the voters are taking that into account, though.
I hope not, because Vasilevsky, at the same time, as you said, he's the best goalie in the world going right now. Price has been phenomenal, but Vasilevsky has been awesome. .935 save percentage is easily the best in the playoffs among the guys that have played more than one series. Jack Campbell actually is like right behind him at .934, but otherwise it's Vasilevsky, and then a pretty big gap between you get to Price and Varlamov at .922. He's a fun goalie to watch. Like, a lot of the side to side movement, big saves. He's let a couple of easy ones in over time, but he's had an awesome postseason. So I would definitely think it's more of that. I had that thought in the back of my head, so I thought I'd throw it out there. If there's any bitterness towards Tampa Bay from the writers out there, but I should give them more credit, because I was impressed. They gave Adam Fox the Norris. I thought he was deserving, and I was worried that they weren't going to give it to him, because like, yeah, you got to pay your dues. You got to do it for more than 1 year. So, you know, I think the writers are doing pretty good on the awards so far this year. Speaking of odds, when we come back, I've got Stanley Cup odds for next season. In fact, the teams I want to look at the most are at the bottom of the standings, or at the bottom of the odds list, because I think it's pretty funny that you've got six teams that all are +10,000 to win the Stanley Cup. Astronomical odds for six teams. That's a big number. So we'll do that. And then Duncan Keith is on the mind. He seems to be headed west. We'll talk about him, and then the Chicago situation a little bit, with all the sexual assault allegations that are going on and the league's handling of it. That's next. You're in the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, College hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I mean, do I need to say any more? Are we good? No? 18 amazing flavors for the delicious Built Bar. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those are the six new flavors to go along with your 12 original flavors. Peanut butter brownie, definitely my favorite of the original flavors. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew, but Built Bar, great for the healthy conscious guy as well. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diet. And if you want an example, peanut butter flavor, that's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off of your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. Mike DiStefano at Mickey_Canuck. Fresh off, we got some blue check marks to our names now on Twitter if you follow us there. So we got. Do you ever feel like we got to be more careful with like opinions on Twitter and like it not get taken as reporting? I like was making fun of a Friedman. It was a Friedman or Dreger the other day. Someone tweeted that Anaheim wasn't willing to give the Sabres what they wanted. Like, obviously, because if they were, for Eichel, by the way, I mean, it, obviously, because if they were, then the trade would have happened already. And just playing off that as a joke, I'm like, yes, and obviously I've checked, and the Kings haven't given the Sabres what they wanted, and the Rangers, and all the other, the Blue Jackets. And I did a double take and didn't tweet it. I think I didn't tweet it, because I'm like, ooh, I have a blue check mark now. I don't want people to think I'm reporting that I've checked in with the Blue Jackets, you know? I don't know. Yeah. Have you thought about that at all?
No, again, you're doing way more double thinking than I am. I think
I'm overthinking things.
You're a worry bug there because I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and tweet the same way that I've been tweeting. You know, the tweeting that I've done up until now has built my followership. So I can only assume that they will keep enjoying the tweets that I've always done. And I mean, Twitter is all about just basically letting people know your opinion. I mean, I don't have reporter or anything like that in my bio, and it says opinions are my own in my bio. So, you know, for those who read the fine print, which is basically nobody, they just, you know, look at the headline and away they go. But, you know, I don't think a blue check mark is gonna change the way that I go about my Twittering.
All right. I should take that same approach, but I don't know. It's something I was thinking about. Again, maybe I'm just overthinking things lately. I'm looking at the bottom of the standings, by the way, or looking at the bottom of the odds list at BetOnline. I had BetOnline in front of me. We were talking Conn Smythe, and I'm like, oh, look, Stanley Cup odds for next year. I didn't even know this was up. And we've got them, and it says it was released today. I've got six teams at the bottom at plus 10,000. The Anaheim Ducks, the Buffalo Sabres, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Detroit Red Wings, the New Jersey Devils, and the Seattle Kraken. You think that's right? You think anybody else deserves to be in that bottom pairing, or do you think anybody in that group deserves to maybe be thought of as higher than the rest?
I mean, that would probably make sense at this point. Is there a team who you see, I suppose, that you think could make their way up or down that list?
I actually think Arizona. I think they're about to lose Antti Raanta, it looks like, in free agency. I don't know. They didn't really meet expectations this season. I think people thought they'd be a little bit better at least. They lose Rick Tocchet as their head coach, or they move on from him. I don't know. There seems to be a lot of people walking out the door there. that, I don't know, the Coyotes just strike me as a team that, like, they're in the same territory as the Ducks and the Blue Jackets, aren't they? But
yeah,
they're a little bit higher.
I could see them being kind of in this same category here. Maybe. I mean, I know we're going to get to this Duncan Keith news in a little bit, but I'd be curious to see if maybe this is kind of taking one step back to take two steps forward, like in the future type of move that they're looking to do. Yep. And if that's the case, like, have this upcoming season kind of be that year they take a step back. However, if they do end up getting Toews back, Kirby Dach be healthy, I can't see them being any worse than they were this year. So perhaps that's not a situation there. Let me think if there's a team here that deserves to go higher. I mean, I think the Seattle Kraken will probably have a better team than the rest of these.
Okay.
I think, like, if you think about how well the Vegas Golden Knights did, and I don't think that Seattle's going to have as good as a team as Vegas did. Like, they went to the Cup final, but I still think they'll end up with some decent pieces. Like, there are some really good players that that will be available for them to take, that they'll be able to kind of make as the backbone, as the spine of this Kraken roster. And I think they'll be able to win a considerable amount of games. Are they going to be a playoff team? Maybe not, but will they be in last place, like at 10,000 plus 10,000 odds? I think that might be a little bit of value. It might be the wrong word to use, because I still would never bet them to win the cup. Like, that's just at 10,000 to one. Sure, that's great value, but you're just basically throwing your money away.
Right. Yeah, maybe wait for some playoff odds to come out or something and throw them on Seattle for that. That's more obviously more realistic. Top of the odds, by the way, Colorado is the early Stanley Cup favorite for next year, plus 500. Vegas in second, plus 600.
The Colorado surprises me at number one, just because, like, these odds were sent out today, which is in the middle of the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
And the way that the Tampa Bay Lightning are playing right now, like, they're just absolute juggernauts and they're just so good. I'm just so surprised that they're not favored to win it again next year in three-peat. I mean, I guess I'm pulling a mare here and assuming that they'll win. But, you know, like, I'm just surprised that the Lightning, for how good they've played, are not considered the favorites. And you look at Colorado, they've got some work to do this summer. They've got Landeskog that needs to get a contract. Kale McCarr needs a contract. Philip Grubauer needs a contract. And there's one more that I can't remember, but there's another player out there in Colorado that needs a deal. So they've got, like, four big pieces that they need to get signed to contracts in order to kind of run it back next year.
They've got Brandon Saad as a UFA, Tyson Jost as an RFA, Devin Dubnyk, their other goaltender, is a UFA. I don't know which one of those. I mean, I would say both Saad, who has been a top six forward for them, and Jost would be the guy.
Saad was the guy I was thinking of like another top six guy who they're going to have to bring back.
But add all those guys to the list. I mean, really.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of been a bit of a disappointment. If they let him go, they could probably sign him fairly cheap. I don't think he's earned a big contract or anything like that. But yeah, they've got some work to do. So to kind of come out and already give them, 5-1 odds here to win the cup and have them as the top betting team to win, I think is a little bit of a stretch here. Like, I'm looking at this right now. I'm thinking, Tampa Bay, that's good value at plus 700, like, really good value.
Yeah, Vegas even above them at plus 600. They've got to do something at center. I mean, they had Chandler Stephenson playing second line center for them in a big chunk of the playoffs. I keep thinking about them as a team that could get down on Eichel, but I just don't know if they have the assets to get it done, or if they need to also have the motivation. I feel like that's the lesser issue with them, though. They've usually been pretty aggressive. But it doesn't have to be Eichel. They could even do Reinhardt in Buffalo. They could go trade for somebody else's second line center. Like, I think there could be a move there for Vegas. And yeah, Tampa third at plus 700. I agree with you. I think they should be the favorite. I mean, I think they're one the best built team I've ever seen, top to bottom. Like, they got their star players. They nail bottom draft picks, like Palat in the sixth round. Obviously Kucherov in the second is one, but Point, yeah, like, they, I just, I don't know, there's Who's the other one? Yanni Gourde was like an undrafted free agent. Tampa's going to find two or three players that come up through the system and just be great middle six players.
Yeah. Half their roster is basically like non-first rounders. Like they're just finding these guys through the draft. I mean, Eric Chernak was a second or third round pick. Braden Point was a third round pick. Like you said, Yanni Gourde, Tyler Johnson was another undrafted player. Like they find guys all throughout the draft. And, you know, that's what makes this team so successful. Like the way that they can supplement these teams. And, you know, they've had to move on from some players too, and they're still good. You know, like that's what makes this team great. The fact that they're able to just not have Kucherov there all year long, and still they have players who can supplement them, and they can still make the playoffs without Kucherov, who we're seeing what he actually means to this team and what he can do when he's out there. And the fact that they're so good that without him, they can still make the playoffs, it just says something to me. And I'm going to assume that Kucherov is going to be there all year next year. And like for that reason, how do you count them out and not as your top Stanley Cup contender going into next season?
Yeah, I'm looking, by the way, a little bit deeper in the list now. Another team that we're going to talk about here was, might as well bring them up, Edmonton, way down the list at plus 2,500 to win the Stanley Cup next year. They are kind of the center of a lot of these Duncan Keith trade rumors that are going on right now. They're also kind of getting hammered for it. I've seen it's a lot of the number based guys, but not all number based guys. Some are just looking at his age and thinking like, really, Edmonton, that's your fix? Like, are you just kind of captivated by the name? Because Keith is still a good defenseman, but is he a top pair guy? Like, he'll probably end up playing in Edmonton because of what their blue line looks like. I don't know. I don't know that they deserve as much heat as they're getting for a trade that they haven't even technically made yet. If they even make it, it could be Seattle. It could be Vancouver that ends up pulling this trade off. But what do you make of Keith as an asset, and what do you make of the landing spot for Edmonton?
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I saw the report kind of come across the Twitter timeline a couple weeks ago, that I think it was Elliot Friedman said that he was hearing rumblings that Duncan Keith could be making his way westward, whether in the North Pacific West or northern Western Canada, one of those two spots. So immediately Edmonton, Vancouver, and Seattle were kind of the three teams that people were pinpointing as potential landing spots for Duncan Keith. And then I saw a bunch of scribes actually come out, and it seems like it's not Vancouver. That's what people are getting the feeling after they're talking with management, that they're not in on this. And I think that'd be smart. They already have too many old guys on long-term bad contracts. Yeah. You don't want to get another one. So Edmonton and Seattle are kind of the two that I think will be duking out for Duncan Keith. I mean, if he goes to Seattle, well, there's your captain, right? Like 100% Duncan Keith would be the captain of the Seattle Kraken. Easy, hands down. And I assuming that he is does he have to be protected? So he's got a no move. So he would have to waive his trade to get moved. And look, he's 37 years old. He's got 2 years left on his deal at $5.5 million. I almost wonder if he's like ready to hang it up. And wherever he goes is almost like an LTIR type move.
That
hasn't been talked about. And Duncan Keith isn't one who's had injuries, but like, why would he want to go somewhere else? Maybe to Edmonton, because Edmonton is a team that could win, but like, why would you want to go to Seattle if that's
right? Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And this would be more of like a Marian Hossa type of move for the Chicago Blackhawks, just to get that cap off the books. And maybe they can use that elsewhere and kind of retool this team and come back and try and get, one last kick at the can with this whole Taze and Kane group that you have here. So I don't know what to think of this Duncan Keith trade situation here, because I just assumed, all right, he's a Blackhawk for life, is what it is. And now that there's potential that he could be moved, it's like, I don't know why.
Yeah,
he would want it.
You make a great point about, like, why would he want Seattle? Why would he want to go to a team that's just starting, that if you're being realistic, they could be better than, like, the worst Stanley Cup odds in the league, but are they going to be Vegas? I mean, the chances are heavily against that happening again. So why would you want to spend your final years doing that? I think Edmonton, you're right. Like, it makes some sense because you can at least make a case that you go there and we can win. You know, like McDavid, Draisaitl, like, yes, there are holes, but I can go there and win. And it does make sense for the expansion draft because find me three defensemen that they should protect. I mean, Darnell Nurse is an easy yes. Is Ethan Bear second right now? Do they really want to protect Chris Russell? Evan Bouchard, maybe? I don't even think I know if he qualifies, though. Broberg doesn't qualify, I don't think. So, like, Keith would be an easy protect for them, too. The question I had for you, because the report was what? Wasn't the report that they're working with a team in Western, either the Pacific Northwest or Western Canada?
Yeah.
Am I safe in assuming that doesn't mean Winnipeg? Because he's from Winnipeg, and I just had that thought. Like, would Winnipeg be considered Western Canada? Probably not, right?
It is. Like, I would consider it Western Canada,
okay.
But I there's been, like, no smoke about Winnipeg being interested. I think Winnipeg would make a little bit of sense because they do need like another defenseman. That just doesn't seem like the type of move that they'd be willing to make. I think, you know, they probably see that he's on the downswing and giving up assets to go and get a guy who might not be able to be the player who you think they could be. It just seems like a risky move for a team like Winnipeg, who might be like one really good piece away on the back end. And if he's not that piece, you've kind of wasted that year of, you know, Mark Scheifele, Nick Ehlers, Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler, all these great players that you have right now and this good core that you're building, and knowing your defenseman away, you can't really roll the dice on a guy who might still be a top four guy.
Right. All right. And then finally on today's podcast, let's get to this Ron McLean, Gary Bettman sit down. I was reading a little bit about it once you told me about it before the show started, because I hadn't seen this at all, that Ron McLean, who did the sit down with Gary Bettman, did not ask Bettman about the Chicago sexual assault lawsuits that are going on. You had some questions about it at their State of the League press conference that Bettman and Daly had last week, but you know, we didn't get really anything in sort of an answer. You kind of got the token, you know, everything's on the table. We're going to wait for the legal process to play out. But I don't know, Mike, you tell me, because you were the one who brought it up. And the only thing I've really seen was a story from Ken Campbell of the Hockey News. But how much criticism is McLean getting for not asking Bettman about it even at all?
A lot. And to be honest, like, Ron McLean's been under fire quite a bit through these playoffs. You know, there was, you know, through the year, really, he's made some remarks that he's got himself in some hot water. He's had to come out and kind of put out some flames a little bit. And this was another one of them last night, where it was just an opportunity to kind of put the league, you know, on the ropes a little bit, and put Bettman on the ropes and ask him about this Chicago Blackhawks scandal, which they're kind of refusing to discuss. I mean, they did their kind of like a State of the League address ahead of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and nobody asked him nobody asked questions at that point. I don't think they were allowed to be honest with you, or they were going to probably lose privileges for the rest of the playoffs. And I would assume that very similar threat was used last night. Like, to be quite honest, I think that it was probably asked, hey, can we talk about this? And that was a quick no. And so they just simply didn't. And even if he did go against Bettman's wishes, and he did, you know, have the courage to ask that question live on air against the NHL's wishes, the answer would have just been, we're investigating. I can't comment on it. And we know that that's the case. So what's the point of asking the question at that point? Like, I understand, like, I'm kind of on the fence on it, I guess. Like, I understand there's no point to asking because you're not going to get an answer. But at the same time, you know, you somewhat do need to put a little bit of pressure on them to answer to this really, really terrible situation that's going on that the NHL has been eerily quiet on.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting. And what should I even ask it? Like, it's so hard to know. I don't even think it's worth asking what's going to happen with Chicago, because it's kind of unprecedented for the NHL to have a situation like this.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. We don't know, right? We don't really even know all the facts.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, there's been a few stories that have been, you know, really well done. Don't get me wrong. You know, they've came out and they've told us everything that they know and as much as they can at the very least. But there's probably still some stuff that we don't know that could have a lot more bearing into how proceedings go through the league. You know, like I don't know how deep this goes. There's conversations about whether or not Mark Bergevin knew, and could that affect his tenure in Montreal if it does come out that he knew and turned a blind eye to it. Like it just goes so deep, and or it could, again, like I just don't want to speculate on it because there's so much that we don't know about the entire situation, which also is another kind of reason why, you know, there's a lot of Twitter backlash about like, oh, why aren't people talking about this more? And I think a reason is because we don't have all the facts yet, and you don't want to speculate and be wrong.
If what is alleged is true, it's disgusting acts that many people that were involved and anyone that was involved and might have turned a blind eye should be punished for. But again, we are not. It doesn't seem we're very close to a resolution at this point, which makes it tough to. It's tough to discuss here, but obviously it'll be something to monitor. Maybe we'll have something in the off season here. But you know, we've got other things to talk about here over the coming days and weeks, but anything that develops on the Chicago situation, we'll of course tackle it and we'll cover it here on the Locked On NHL podcast. But that is going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks everybody for listening. Congrats, by the way, to Jess Belmosto of Locked On Flames. She is going to be a regular host now on Wednesdays with Sarah Avampato. So look forward to listening to her first episode. Although I think she was filling in maybe last week, so maybe it's not her first episode, but first episode as a full-time member here of Locked On NHL tomorrow. And I will be back on Friday. So until then, thanks everyone for listening. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.